Series about That's Life, and we kicked off a couple of weeks ago, and Tynan's coming in singing That's Life, but we kicked it off a couple of weeks ago, and we've gone through some physical health, emotional health. I'm going to do it this morning, and I can't think of what else we've done, but behind me there, are they? Okay, so we've done spiritual, physical, mental. I'm going to cover off emotional health this morning. Can I ask you to change this for me? Yeah, Grant. But you know, when I was preparing the word this week, you know what? God just has revealed so much to myself about emotional health and where I've come from along this journey. And I know there's many here this morning that have got a breakthrough. The kids. Do you hear the kids? Pump up the jam. There you go. So just be prepared, they'll be wired. But yeah, so this morning I want to talk about emotional health and about understanding the value of our emotions and how we can use them to move life forward in a positive direction. You know, if you were to ask any pastor or a counselor anywhere in the world anything regarding emotional health, they would tell you two truths. And the first truth is that everybody has hidden emotional wounds. And the second one is that emotional wounds take a lot longer to heal than physical ones. You know, people have become so skilled at, you know, masking their emotions. And for some, they have carried around emotional wounds for years, even decades. So Father, we just come this morning, Lord God. And Father, we release your word in the house this morning, Lord. Father, your word is powerful, Lord God. Father, your word, Father God, can cut through like a double-edged sword, Father God. And I release that in the house this morning, Lord God. Father, that those that came in this morning will be transformed, that they will not leave this place today, Father, the same as when they walked in this morning, that you will transform them, Lord God. And you know, emotional wounds, people have carried them around, as I said, for years, for decades. They wear masks to hide who they really are. And you know what? We got this mask a couple of years ago in Venice, and it's a pretty cool looking mask. But you know what? People wear masks. Not like this, but they wear masks of different kinds. And one of the masks that people wear, it's called an avoidance mask. And this avoidance mask is to protect them from all the pain and that they've gone through. So they wear this mask. So when people see this mask, this avoidance mask is to protect them from letting anybody in. And then there's a functional mask. And we all have a functional mask. We have a functional mask when we go to work, when we go about our daily duties. You know, we have a functional mask that we can get through life. You know, even the celebrities wear a functional mask. You know, the celebrities, they don't want the media to figure out what's really going on with their life. They don't want the media to know that if they're going through a broken marriage or whatever's going on in their world. So they put this functional mask on so that the media can't read them. And then there's a mask that's called the mask of anger. And it's where people actually wear this mask. And it helps them to cover up their sensitivity. And it keeps people away from them. And it keeps that person from feeling vulnerable. And then we have the happy mask. And you know, the happy mask, what that does is it never lets anybody know how you're really feeling. So whether you're hurting or life is great, and I'm wearing my happy mask today, but I'm not really going to let anybody in to really know how I'm feeling. And we wear that mask at all costs. And you know, even Christians wear that mask. And they can come in on a Sunday morning and they can say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus is great, life is great. But deep down inside, there's deep wounds, deep, deep wounds. Masks provide some emotional protection in the short run. Would you agree with that? But the cost of wearing masks are high. They're very high. Emotional wounds take a lot longer to heal if we ignore them. You know, if I had a physical cut on my hand, and that physical cut was pumping blood, excessive blood was coming out of it, the first thing I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to go and get medical treatment. I'm going to have to go and get that seen by a medical practitioner, because that cut could need a stitch to stop the blood flow. And you see, if I go to a medical practitioner, he's going to sort that wound out. And that wound is going to take a couple of days or maybe a couple of weeks to heal. But emotional wounds, as people have carried them around for decades or years, can take a lot longer. But I want to tell you this morning, the good news is that Jesus the healer can take your emotional wounds, and he can transform your life here today. You don't have to carry around your emotional wound for another decade or another year or another 20 years, because you see, God is instant. God can do the miraculous. If we believe that God can heal us, he can do the miraculous. And you know, listen to what the writer of Psalm says. It says in Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. This is the God that we serve. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. So how does God do that? I want to take a look at 5 steps to becoming emotionally healthy. Becoming emotionally set free today. That the bondage is gone. That we don't walk around as a people emotionally wounded anymore. And the first step is, I must reveal my hurt. I must actually reveal the hurt that's going on inside of me. I must face up to how I'm really feeling. You know, King David, he was no stranger to emotional pain. And you know what, David, I love David. He talks about the effects of bottling up his feelings. And it says in the Psalms, this is what David says. He says, I kept very quiet because I became even more upset. I became very angry inside. As I thought about it, my anger burnt. You see, what David was saying, that hanging on to hurts is like carrying hot coal in our heart. You see, we end up getting burnt. We end up becoming angry, resentful. And we end up making a choice not to face up to how we really feel. You see, the hurt that we carry doesn't hurt the other person. Do we hear that this morning? Whatever you carry here this morning, it's not hurting the other person. It's actually killing you and it's hurting you. You know, I have done life with a man in our congregation for the last 2 years, and a few more of us here, and Stephen, my husband. And we've walked a journey with this man. And this man came into our life 2 years ago, as I said, and when he came in, this man was full of resentment, full of anger, and full of depression. This man's son had been taken from him nearly 40 years ago. The little boy was 8 years of age, and he was killed in a horrific car accident. And this man was carrying hot coal in his heart. He was burnt. He was angry. He was resentful to the driver that had killed his son. And you know what? This man wanted to go and tell that driver how angry he was with him. And he wanted to cause him pain. And I want to tell you this morning that last week, this man was set free. This man was set free last week. You know, because he gave it over to God. And one of our intercessors came alongside him and prayed with him and asked him, do you want to make a choice to forgive? You've got to forgive. You've got to choose to forgive. And he did. And you know what? We give God the glory for that this morning, because he's not caught and trapped in that prison anymore. And it's just like, as I shared about a physical wound. When we leave a physical wound untreated, it's open to infection, to germs. It's open to to becoming septic. When we don't talk about our emotional hidden wounds, they begin to fester beneath the surface. And they begin to cause us long-term damage. And damage to our health. And we can become irritable. And we can become angry and have feelings of anger and resentment towards others. And we can lash out in our hurt. You see, we're all guilty this morning, even me, of pushing a hurt aside. But it doesn't get rid of it. It just makes it worse. And you see, if you don't talk it out, you're not going to be able to get fixed. You see, some people have tried to run away. They have tried to escape. And some people have turned to alcoholism, have turned to drugs, have turned to sexual activity. And some have even become workaholics. And they throw themselves into work. And they take their mind off the real hidden emotional wound. But it's only a short-term, quick-fix solution. You see, the wound is still there. The wound is still there. And the wound has to be treated. And if we don't treat it, if we ignore it, it's still going to fester. It's still going to come up, and it's going to come out of us in some way. So the more we try to push it down, the more we try to bury it, the more we're damaging ourselves. If we want to be emotionally healthy, we've got to be honest. We've got to be very, very honest with our pain. We've got to be honest about the anger. We've got to be honest about the resentment and not bottle everything up. So who am I supposed to reveal what I feel, what I'm feeling to? You know, the first thing you got to do is you have to be honest with yourself. And that's the first step. You have to admit that you're hurt, that you're ashamed, that you're miserable, that you're angry, and that you're holding on to unforgiveness. You have to be honest with God. That's the second point. You got to tell God straight up everything that's going on inside of you. You got to let it spill out. And you got to say, God, here I am. This is the way I feel today. You know, some people are afraid to tell God because they think that God can't handle it. You see, God can handle anything. You see, God knows how you've been feeling for the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, however long it is that you've been carrying that hurt. You see, God saw you when you were hurt. He was there. He hurt with you. And he has just been waiting for you to see it yourself. And to receive your healing, you've got to be honest with one other person that you trust. And you don't have to tell a bunch of people all your stuff, but just someone that you trust. Just like that man that I shared about. He came and he trusted one and a few more of us because we'd done life with him. But he was able to come and he was able to be released from the pain and the bondage that kept him imprisoned. You know, when King David bottled up his emotions, this is what he said. When I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside. And he said, I moaned all day. David moaned all day. You see, David was so emotionally drained. He pushed his feelings down and he pushed them aside. And just like us, when we stuff those hurts deep down inside, it only hurts us. It only makes us ill. It only makes us weaker. And here's the second step if you're taking notes this morning. You've got to release those who have hurt you. You've got to let those people off the hook. To become emotionally healthy, we've got to let go of the resentment. We have to let it go. Have you ever wondered why someone is emotionally disconnected? When you look at someone and they're kind of socially awkward and you look at them and you think, what's going on with that person? But you see, this person is living their head. They're living out the wound, the anger, the resentment in their head. They're consumed with it. It goes over and over and over again in their head. You see, they're trapped in their body. And this is a sign that someone is in a lot of emotional pain. And the question we have to ask ourselves this morning, do I want to get well? Do I want to get well? Or do I want to get even? You see, we can't have both when we're walking with God. We can't have both. You see, getting even will not take the pain away. And maybe some this morning have been able to get even with people who have hurt them. But it won't solve the problem. It's not going to solve the problem. And it won't heal your wound. The only way to get rid of your hurt and to get rid of your pain is to forgive the other people. Are we hearing that this morning? We've got to forgive. You see, forgiveness is the key to unlock the bitterness, to unlock the anger, to unlock the resentment that's in your heart. And you know, you might be saying, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Look what they've done on me. Look what they've done on my family. You're right. They don't deserve to be forgiven. They don't. But you know, you and I didn't deserve to be forgiven when Jesus went to the cross and when he took our sins on the cross and when he went to the Father on our behalf. We don't deserve to be forgiven. But you see, God offered us a way out. And that way out is that we forgive others that hurt us, just like he forgave us. We've got to get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger. We've got to get rid of the brawling and the slander, along with every form of malice. We've got to be kind. We've got to be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. And this was what Paul told the Ephesians in 4:31. You see, Paul was a man that persecuted the living daylights out of the first century church. They were terrified of him. The Christians would lie awake at night in fear and trembling, thinking about what Paul was going to do to them. And then God transforms Paul. Paul does a 360 degree turnaround. God began to take away the anger and the malice and the rage and the bitterness out of Paul. And then here's Paul encouraging the first century church. He begins to encourage them. And you see what Paul was saying, you can't stay in that place. And sometimes we think that holding on to the hurt is that we're hurting the other person back. It's like trying to poison someone else, but you're drinking the poison yourself. You see, God saw all the hurt that was done to you. He saw the abuse, the injustice, the prejudice, the racism, the rejection. God was there. He saw it all. And it says in Psalm 56 that you have kept a record of my tears. So every tear that you have cried over a wound, over emotional wounds that people have done to you, God has those tears stored up. God has them stored up. You know, Paul also tells the first century Christians, never pay evil for evil and never avenge yourself. Leave that to God. For he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Don't take the law into your own hands. You see, we need to trust God to balance and settle the score. It's God that looks after us. It's God that will vindicate us. You see, forgive. To forgive is to set a prisoner free. And realize that the prisoner was you. We've got to forgive. We have got to forgive. Because when we don't forgive, we're going to be caught and trapped. And we're not going to move on into the fullness and the wholeness of what God has for us. Because the start of this series was about that's life. About getting healed and about being transformed. And I want to echo that this morning. That's life. Do you want to come into the fullness and the wholeness of what God has for you? Because God is waiting. Here's the third step. Replace old lies with God's truths. Replace old lies with God's truths. You see, our brains, they're amazing. When God created our brains, he's just amazing. And when our brains have an incredible ability to remember certain things. You know, certain things that go back years ago. I can remember stuff as long as when I was 5 years of age. And that's how far back we can remember as people. And some of us, when we were younger, remember things that were said to us that were not encouraging stuff. You know, stuff that was sent to us by a parent, by someone in authority, by a teacher. We remember stuff like, you're stupid, you're worthless, you're ugly, you're never going to amount to much. I'm embarrassed to call you my child. Why can't you be like your sister or your brother? You know, this could have been said many, many years ago, but somewhere in your brain, somewhere that lie has been locked deep inside of your brain. You've been kept imprisoned in your brain with that lie. And all these years later, you're still acting on the lie and you're causing self-destruction to yourself. You know, self-destruction can be harmful, and it can be harmful to many around us, and it can be harmful to many loved ones that love us. You know, out in the Far East, there are many landmines that are set out in the field. And these landmines, they're waiting to self-destruct. And they're designed with a battery. And when the battery is wasted, the landmine will explode. And it will cause devastation all over the land, where people have lost limbs and lost their lives and that. When we don't deal with our emotional wounds, it's like hitting the self-destruct button. Over and over and over again, we push the button and we keep pushing it and we keep pushing it, and we cause devastation around us, and not just around us, but we cause devastation to ourselves. You see, we've got to replace old lies with God's truth. And this is what it says in Romans. We've got to let God transform us. We've got to let God renew our mind. We've got to let God let us be the person that he has called us to be. Change the way we think and we will change the way we feel. Change the way we think and we will change the way we feel. When we invite God in and ask for his help, we begin to focus on his way of doing life. You see, Jesus is not ashamed of us here this morning. He's not ashamed of you or me or any of us here in the house. And we need to let the truth of God's word come and take residence in our lives. We've got to let it sink in that God is not ashamed of us here this morning. God is for us here this morning. For each one of us here this morning. And don't let the enemy tell you that he's not, because he's a liar. God is for each of us here this morning in the house. When we make Jesus the number one priority in our life, he will set you free from that sting of that lie that you've been carrying around for centuries. The lie that has tormented you. The Hebrew writer said, Jesus who makes people holy and all those who are made holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus isn't ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He begins to transform us when we see ourselves and live our lives based on his truth. God takes us and he begins to shape us and he begins to mold us. And here's the fourth step. Refocus on the future. You've got to refocus on the future. You've got to let go of the past. You've got to let go of the resentment. You've got to let go of trying to get even. You've got to let go of hanging on to the past and trying to bring your past into the future, because it's not going to work. It's like me when I drive my car. If I look in the rear view mirror and keep driving, what's going to happen? I'm going to crash. I'm going to cause destruction and devastation. I've got to leave my past up in the past, and I've got to take hold of what God has for me for the future, because God wants to launch many here into the future in the kingdom. But there's many that are holding back. There's many that are holding back here this morning. And you've got to let God come and take that wound this morning. In the book of Job, one of his friends came alongside of him. And this is what one of his friends says to him. And I'm reading out a different scripture context this morning, so just stay with me. But this is what one of Job's friends said to him. Put your heart right and reach out to God. Face the world again, firm and courageous. All your troubles will fade away from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Put your heart right. Reach out to God this morning. You've got to give up your right to get even with whoever hurt you. Don't take revenge. Get rid of the malice. Get rid of it. It's going to destroy you. Choose to forgive. Choose to release the people that have hurt you. Even if they don't deserve it. Choose it. I'm choosing to forgive them this morning. I'm choosing, Lord. And even if you say it through gritted teeth, I'm choosing, Lord, to forgive those people that wounded me. I'm choosing to forgive them, Lord. I'm choosing not to stay in this prison cell any longer. Do you want to get well this morning? Church, do you want to get well this morning? Let Jesus be your healer this morning. Let him come. Let him come. Because he's so gentle. He's so caring that he will sweep right in. And he'll take that hurt. And he'll soothe it with his love. Because that's the God that we serve. He cares about each and every one of us. That he doesn't want to leave us in that place that we're in. He wants to transform us. He wants to come alongside us like our friend. Just like Job's friend came alongside him. But we have the Creator. God, the Creator, to come alongside of us. Don't build walls around yourself today. And the enemy's telling you. Right now, she's telling you lies. She's telling you lies. And I say back to him, we're tearing down the walls. We're tearing the walls down. You see, with the power of God and with the presence of God, you can live out each day and you can face this world again. We spoke about the premise and the promise at the very beginning of this series. And the premise is the action that you put your heart right, reach out to God, face the world again. And the promise is that all your troubles will fade away. They'll fade away from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. We must choose to forgive. When we refocus on the future, we will be able to look straight ahead with confidence. Don't hang your head in shame this morning. And here's the fifth step. Reach out to help others. Reach out this morning to help others. You see, there's nothing more rewarding than helping others. There's nothing more rewarding. And if you're not there yet, that's okay. As long as you're in the process of becoming healthy. But you can't stay unhealthy. And the final step is God wants to redeem your pain this morning. He wants to turn it around and he wants to use it for good. You see, God will use us to be the instruments in other people's lives. He will bring us alongside other people and walk with them, journey with them, pray with them. God will do that to set those people free. God will use our emotional pain and wound we have suffered to help somebody else's pain. Even the pain that we've brought on ourselves. You see, God doesn't waste time. He does all of this healing to show he cares and that his grace is for all of his children that want to act like his children. And I'm finishing up. When we are emotionally healthy, God is ready to use us in the lives of others. So we must remember the five steps. And the first one, we've got to reveal the hurt. We've got to reveal the hurt. We've got to drop the masks. So whatever mask that you're wearing for the last 10, 15, maybe 1 month, maybe 3 years, we've got to drop the mask. We've got to drop this. The second one is we've got to release those who have hurt me. We've got to forgive. We've got to choose to forgive. The third one, we've got to replace old lives with God's truth. We've got to stop living up here. We've got to stop living up here in the box and believing the lie that the enemy keeps pressing against us. We've got to live on God's word, and we've got to live in the promise of God. We've got to refocus on the future. You've got to put your heart right and don't hold on to the past. You've got to leave the past in the past and let God launch you into your future. And the fifth one, you've got to reach out and help others. That's the final step. That's the final step of being transformed. That you've got to allow God use you. And when you allow God to use you, you're helping somebody else. And you're unlocking somebody else's wound when you allow God use you to come alongside them.